All right. Well, we're going to move right along tonight. We have six chapters that deal with the children of Israel and where their possessions are. We're not going to read every verse like we have thus far. If you want to sometime, you can. But these six chapters deal with their inheritance. We'll stop at certain verses to pick up some other material besides names that, you know, even the Federal Express guy that did all the commercials would have a hard time saying, whether you try to give any kind of Hebrew accent to them or not. So your verse will be 13:13. Your verse for next week will be 13:13. The verse itself is a little obscure, but when you look at the meaning of it, it talks about the children of Israel not driving out all the inhabitants, and then they had to pay for that the rest. Matter of fact, they're paying for it today. There's some people living in Gaza that should have been driven out. There's people up in the Golan Heights that should have been driven out. There's people on the West Bank, the Jebusites, that never got driven out, and Israel is paying for that today. So, all right, chapter 13. Let's go ahead and get started. If you've read this before and there's a verse that you have a question about, feel free to ask a question. Depending on how I'm feeling at that time, we may venture an answer. But we're going to skip some pretty good blocks of scripture here. So we'll get started here in verse 1, 13:1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said to him, "Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." Now, God does have a sense of humor. Maybe Joshua is one of these guys that just had no clue. Maybe he was hanging out with the singles. Maybe he was working in the teen ministry and had no clue that he was old and stricken in years. You know, you kind of feel like the people you hang out with. I'm afraid now that I've hit the 5-0, I don't want to go into a nursing home ministry. You start gradually, you see people, they marry, and after a number of years, they start looking like each other, and things like that. That's why I've never gotten a dog. So I'm not exactly sure, but it does not appear that Joshua realized that he was getting old and stricken in years, so God had to tell him. You remember we saw that in chapter 1? Oh, by the way, that funeral you just went to, Moses is dead, and you're the man. So, now, very much land to be possessed. We've had an exciting book so far, have we not? We had a little blip, on the radar with Achan, caused him a lot of trouble. And then, of course, because of the sin, that brought a pride to their leadership, and they didn't pray and plan well for the battle at Ai, and that cost them, I think, 36 people. So God taught them the lesson. They got over that. They went in and kicked some booty. And the only other really bad thing we've seen so far is they got tricked by somebody's trip to the Salvation Army or Goodwill store, and they bought some moldy bread that they shouldn't have eaten. Besides that, we saw, 30-1 Kings? God just rattled off. They're 31-0. They're marching. Even with these little bumps in the radar, let me just say this. When things are going well for you, it doesn't mean everything is perfect. You know what I'm saying? God doesn't provide completely smooth ice. He says, "I'll give you some padding for when you fall. I'll give you some cushion there if you fall down and have a boo-boo." So the children of Israel here have gone through some of that. But now God points something out that shows that they're getting weary in battle. Average life of a Christian, last statistic I saw, that is involved or active, is about 6 to 7 years. We're going to see here from Joshua's age that they've now been fighting in the land about 5 years. He's 45 years old. He's 85 years old, excuse me. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So that means they've been battling here. He was 45 at the time. You got it? Okay. I get my numbers mixed up. But it looks like they've been fighting in the land for about 5 to 6 years. And that's the estimate they give, that it took about 6 years to conquer the land. In other words, they're not getting any real resistance. But part of that is because they fail to drive everybody out. You know, people say, do you struggle with sin? No, I fall right to it. I don't struggle with sin. And that's the problem, is I don't struggle with sin. I don't fight sin. I don't go after it like I should. And we see here that they have begun to be fatigued by the battle. The greatest testimony you could be to your family or your coworkers is stick by the stuff. My family doesn't call Christianity a fad anymore. Not after me being saved and involved for 30 years. My brother lasted about a year and a half. My brother, who led my two best buddies and me to the Lord, lasted about a year and a half. And for that period of time, until I got a little older in the Lord, they said, see, it's a fad, it's a fad, it'll wear off. It wore off so much, I'm working here. So the children of Israel are getting fatigued here. And you know what happens? You ever cut wood? I've got a wood stove in my house, and I'm trying not to, give RG&E any more of my money. And the one thing I learned, because I never had a wood stove before, I've done some, cut wood for people to be a blessing. But then when you're doing a bunch of face cord for yourself, all of a sudden you realize the grip on the axe isn't what it was, and the back is getting sore. You know, I didn't have one of them nice stand-up splitters, so you had to pick everything up and put it on, and it falls on your foot, and you picked up your foot, and then you find out you just hacked that off. And then you get to the point where you go, man, I got to get this done, but that fatigue sets in, and the thing doesn't scare me to get tired. I can always justify a nap somehow. It doesn't scare me to get tired, but it scares me to get hurt. You're using the equipment and you mentally let yourself down. Children of Israel here, and I don't know, we saw some days where they went 3-4 days, remember? And they just stayed all night and kept hiking. They went after them. They're getting fatigued from the idea of fighting. But let me remind you, the first set of verses we looked at in here, in our introduction, to fight the good fight of faith. Let no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this world. All those things we looked at that first week that Paul talks so much about as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to make it on the days that you don't feel saved.
Amen.
You will have to make it on the days where the car didn't start. You'll have to make it on the days living with Rich Wilson. You'll have to make it on the days that you are not winning every battle. How do you last 30 years? I have no idea. But I know this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You pick the same thing we tell when I coach. You get tired, you pick them up and put them down. And somehow at the end of practice, you will probably still be alive. Very few high school students die during practice. Okay? Now, it does happen, but very few do. So you have to convince the athlete that you did not swallow the whistle, and every time you breathe, it goes off and you have to do something. But you will never make it unless you can play fatigued. You will never make it unless you learn how to play unhappy, or the lighting is bad, or the air conditioning, or the message, or this, or that. You will never make it as a Christian if you let the battle fatigue you, that you give an incomplete effort or a partial effort. Louis probably saved more than 30 years.
Couple, yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to give you a break, Joshua.
38 years.
Louis is old and well stricken in years. Anybody else save 30 years?
I didn't need that job today.
Okay, Gary, Dave. Okay, what, right out of the crib? So. Yeah, that's right. And so he hasn't been baptized yet because Burrito doesn't think he's saved. You don't make it without realizing that you've got to go even in the bad weather. What does it say? The sluggard will not plow for reason of the cold. You know, there's a lion in the street. Well, just look for the tigers and bears and have a great game. You know, the four of you, bring them in a stadium and let's play some football. These guys are getting fatigued. You know why I picked the memory verse I did? Because it says they stopped obeying God and driving out the enemy. And they are paying for it today. the areas in Israel that they did not drive the enemy out are areas today where you have suicide bombers and you have all sorts of people that would like to kill them. So there's much land to be possessed. Verse 6, we'll go ahead and read this. This is the land that yet remaineth all the borders of the Philistines and the Geshuri. So that's over on the coast of the Mediterranean there. We'll jump down to 6, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon into there, and all the Sidonians. Them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for inheritance as I have commanded thee. What are two things that should jump out to us in that verse? Verse 6. Okay, drive out. Who's going to drive them out? God said He would drive them out. We've got to remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. Okay? Horse is prepared for battle, but safety is the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. He will drive them out. You know, I would hate to quit a day before the rapture. That would be a real downer. You know, all of a sudden a rapture hits and it's more like a rupture. And, you know, you find out, oh, I quit yesterday on the Lord. What a terrible feeling. So, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's going to fight it. Gary? Is this about, you want to get back into the Genesis 6 thing again? Okay, you've brought it up every week. I'm getting the hint. We got some time in December. We'll hit that. Oh, go ahead.
You know, there's much land to be possessed, but the original land that was promised was way bigger. So I was just thinking about this week. Why, you know, the land was on the west of Jordan, the east of Jordan was promised to them as well.
Well, they got that. Remember Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh.
Some of it, though, but doesn't
right.
promise to even go further.
Let me two things. I think Heidi had a question earlier about did Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh help fulfill God's will by staying over there? And one of the answers to that is God likes to have a unified effort and force. So I believe they were supposed to all of them go in and fight. Remember, we showed that they had 110,000 soldiers and they only sent 40,000 in. So there, we're with you to the end. You know, it was only until the first keg got drained. And then they were gone from the party. So you have this here that I think God wanted to branch out from. The other thing is, remember, how did they always travel into Israel? Did they go straight from here over? No. They went up and around. This area out here probably did not have much, if any, of any kind of resistance. It was pretty much, they may own the land. I've got land that I don't mow, and I don't farm, so I don't get anything out of it except the joy of, wow, if I ever sell, I've got this land to sell. So when it says that, either one, God plans on just keeping them moving out, but they broke the covenant. See, that's why they didn't get all the land. They broke the covenant that God gave them by not obeying Him. So they didn't get everything. And the second thing is, you're going to have areas there that belong to Israel but are inhabitable. So it wouldn't be like they would go and fight a battle there to get it. Okay? But that's a good question. And it has nothing to do with giants either. We will see the giant show up tonight, and that made me really nervous. But he says that he's going to fight the battle. But what else did he tell him to do in that verse? Verse 6. What's that? Divide the land. Do they have it yet?
No.
That's an act of faith. That's an act of faith. Yeah, okay, now divide the land. Who's going to get what? We don't have it yet. Da-da-da-da-da-da! I will fight for you. It's just as good as done. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Amen. Did you win all your battles today? We are still more than conquerors in Christ. So that was an act of faith. Verse 7. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. Why is that? 2.5 tribes got their stuff over, their land over on the east side of the Jordan River. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the children of Israel, this is your memory verse, expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Maccathites. I can't wait to see the spelling on this. But the notice it says, but the Jeshurites and the Maccathites dwell among the Israelites unto this day. They stopped fighting, and so did God. That's why they're still in there. God said, I'll fight your battles. But if you don't go to fight, I'm not going. That's why they broke the promise of God by not obeying. Therefore, God did not break His promise of giving them the land. If they had fought, if they continued fighting, God would have given them the land and the victory. But that's your memory verse there. This is their first sign of incomplete obedience. Notice they did not expel the Jeshurites. The worst trouble that David experienced in his life came from his son Absalom, who not only murdered another of David's sons, but stole David's kingdom away from him as well. Notice in 2 Samuel 3:3 that Absalom was born of Maacah, a Geshurite. So, as we have said, incomplete victories lead to defeats later in life. And if they had wiped them all out, David would have had one more son, and he wouldn't have had a bunch of months or years, depending on how you look at that, how far he had to run when Absalom tried to take over the kingdom. Incomplete victory will lead to future defeat. Just remember that. Incomplete victory, incomplete obedience will lead to future defeat. Verse 14. Only unto the tribes of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. If you plan on going into ministry, don't plan on living like you see the dudes on TV live. God, and I was doing some research today for my message on Sunday, and hit a very interesting verse that says in Numbers that the offerings were a gift of God to the Levites. The offerings were the gift of God to Levites. Let me tell you, you guys want to go in the ministry. What will keep you going? It won't be the paycheck. It'll be John chapter 3rd John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. That's where you will have to live, is on the sacrifices that other people give to God. That is where you will have to draw your joy from. If you're in it because you're going to be blankety blank from Atlanta and blankety blank from Houston and blankety blank from LA, and you're going to have all this, everything else, you're not going to get it. The house was manageable this morning. It was 65. I don't know what you're struggling with, but 40? Okay. Let me give you some heart. We got a single missionary over in Japan. With a kerosene heater in her room. Her room gets to be 45. Her name's Wendy Stiles. I don't know how many, 12 years she's been in Japan now. Every winter she goes through that. With the heater in her room, it's 45 degrees. Michaela, put another pair of socks on and go get that goofy hat that Dad wears outside and put it on. We're doing pretty good. Oh, yeah. And I got, Nanook of the North back there with three raccoons that he wears for a hat. The ministry is this. Your inheritance will be your people. Your reward will come from seeing them do well spiritually. Now, some areas pay a little better than others. I understand that. Cost of living in certain areas, blah, blah, blah. But if you're going to go into ministry to get rich, don't. You'll destroy yourself and you'll destroy everybody that you're using to get there.
Right.
People don't like being used as stepping stones to your global palace. Hey, Levi, wait a minute. What happened to these other tribes here? We split Joseph. He got two. So what happened to Levi? Levi doesn't get land. Levi gets a city. God will give him a place to live. But they get no land because the offerings of God, the sacrifices of the people, are their reward. If you're going to go into ministry, you better make that your goal. The more you invest in people, give, and it shall be given unto you. By who? What does that verse say? So shall men give into your bosom. God will direct it, but you give, and God will make sure that you're taken care of. You know, you're not going to run around in rolls and like these other guys and everything else, because the inheritance that God will give us as ministers are the people in our ministry. The greatest resource you will ever have as a pastor is not your buses, not your building, not your land, not your park. It'll always be your people. And God will take care of you as you take care of them. 15, and Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families, and he lists that. Verse 22, interesting verse here. Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. That's one of those verses that you shout, praise the Lord, God is not mocked, and whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Remember, Balaam is the guy that King Balak wanted to have curse the children of Israel, and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't curse it. And he got real spiritual, and he said, oh, I can't go beyond the word of the Lord, and the word told me to bless them, I have to bless them. And then after they got out of conference call and they turned the recorder off, he says, but now listen, if you really want to get them, I can't curse them. I'm not going to go against the word of God when he tells me to bless them. But if you really want to kill the children of Israel, if you want to destroy them, then you just intermarry with them. That's the Balaam he's talking about. So one of the blessings here of Israel going through and obeying God is guys like this get killed. God will take care of people like that. Verse 23. And the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof, this was the inheritance of the children of Reuben after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad according to their families. And the next set of verses talks about Gad's inheritance. Verse 29. And Moses gave inheritance unto half-tribe of Manasseh. And this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families. There's their inheritance. Verse 32. These are the countries which Moses did distribute for inheritance in the plains of Moab, on the other side, the east side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Now, if you didn't get it first time, God states it twice in the same chapter. Levi, the priests, don't get the inheritance here. Now, I applied that before to ministers. Hopefully you are listening. We all are New Testament priests, are we not? According to Peter, we are a royal priesthood. We are God's priesthood now. So, no, we may not be in the ministry. We may not be looking to go into the ministry. But as a priest of God, you have to realize that this world is not my home. I am just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You don't have to be a minister. You got it? Okay. You don't have to be a minister to realize that you're not going to get all of your rewards down here. You're not going to get all of your rewards. And I think many times the more we get here, the less we will probably have up there. And as a New Testament believer, you are called a priest of God. So, when he says that Levi gets no inheritance in the land, that's a reminder to all of us, no matter whether we go in the ministry or not, that our inheritance is up there, not down here. Now, some of us, you know, some of us get more than others, and that's all up to God. God determines that. God gives out His gifts severally as He wills. And that's no statement on who's better than someone else or anything else. That's all up to God. But we have to have the mindset that our rewards are up there and we're not looking for them down here. All right, any questions on 13? See how fast you get through a chapter when you don't teach it. Yes, go ahead, Michelle.
Was this tribe okay with that? The tribe of Levi, was there any bitterness or...
There is no recorded bitterness, and God may have either not recorded it, or maybe you know, the heritage of Levi and the training of his family, they didn't complain. You know, and a lot of it is the attitude. You know, I don't have to mow. I don't have to seed it. This summer, while I'm mowing my lawn twice a week, I thought to myself, what a moron. Why did you put fertilizer down? I paid good money, took a lot of time, walk around. You know, I took this little black thing with wheels and a handle. I took it for a walk for a couple hours around my yard, and I'm paying the price for that now. I am mowing my yard twice. So I think for a lot of them, it all depends on your outlook. The offerings of God, you know, being there to minister to people, well, this is pretty cool.
Hey, here's a car.
You know, so if they're bitter, it's because they're not accepting God's will. Or they're not looking at the work God gave them to do as being worth more than a 48-inch John Deere with a bagger, which I'm praying for. You know what I'm saying? So there's no recording where Levi said, hey, I got the raw deal again. What happened here? So I don't know if that's just God not recording it or them realizing this was the will of God. And I'll always be happier in the will of God, no matter where I am, than outside the will of God in a palace. So, Gary?
Yeah, along that line, I was Levi, I mean, back when Jacob, back in Genesis 49, sort of laid out the blessing, he lumped, you know, Levi with Simeon, that was a Shechem.
Right.
And sort of, you know, negative thing, and then Levi gets to be the priest. Where Simeon really shrinks and doesn't...
Yeah, you don't see much about Simeon, and that might just be the character of the family. You know, it might, they just, I don't know how to say it, they just might not have any character.
But I mean, I was surprised that Levi sort of gets...
Because what Daddy was upset about may not have bothered God as much as it did Daddy. Levi and Simeon's... Is there flies over here? I see all these. Watch out, Michelle. Levi and Simeon, if you don't know the story, Dinah was raped by the someone in Shechem. And so Levi and Simeon, their dad didn't do anything about it. Their dad did nothing to defend their daughter. And so Levi and Simeon said, yeah, you come over and marry our daughters and we'll marry your women, but you got to be circumcised first. So they circumcised the whole town, and then while they were still a little sore, they went over and took care of them. They, you know, lift your hand. So Jacob got mad at Levi and Simeon for the way they stuck up for Dinah. May I say, I'm not quite sure God was as upset.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming back 400 years later and doing it all over again. You know? Hi, would you like to be an Israelite? No? Whack! Next, would you like to be an Israelite? No? Whack! They just got a head start. I'm not trying to be too crass. I'm just in that mood today. You like Phineas. You see Phineas in the book of Exodus? You got I believe it was a Hebrew man, and what was the woman? What nationality was she of? I forget, but she wasn't a Jew. And the two of them were pulling, it says they pulled their carts like sin in front of Moses. Here, God has pronounced a plague on the children of Israel because they started to intermarry with the people of the land. And so this Jew strolling down the street with his chick from one of these local towns who was not a Jew, and they start, okay, the kids aren't here yet, they start doing the deed. And Phineas realized that this was a slap in God's face, in Moses' face, because it says that Phineas came in and rammed a spear through both of their bellies. Can you help me here with the picture? There's only one way to do that. Well, there's two. But if I'm standing up and a guy comes at me with a spear, I'm going to have a chance to get out of the way? I'm laying down? No. Phineas drove the spear through the two of them, and the Bible says the plague was stayed. So God's judgment against sin won't win any elections.
Amen.
Okay, so I'm not sure Levi, God was as mad at Levi as Jacob was.
Just one time. That makes a lot of sense. And then Judah, you know, then gets Judah, who seemed to, Jacob would be more, maybe even more upset with him with some of what he did, but he gets the blessing. Just again, you know, horizontal versus vertical.
Yes. Right. All right. Yes, I'm sorry.
I wonder if there is some kind of punishment, though, because I think it's in the context of when Jacob is talking to them. He talks about Levi and Simeon being divided in Israel, and then both of them were, like, Levi was a city, and Simeon was surrounded by other tribes.
Yeah.
Again, if, like with Michelle's question, if I didn't get land, but I got all the offerings of God and I served God, it's not a bad deal. So it may have been a prophecy that came true, but it may not have been a punishment on Levi. Oh, I hate burning wood. These offerings, I get the smoke in my eyes, and it gets in these garments, and you just can't get it out. You know, I can't see Levi, you know, saying, what a drag this is. The prophecy could be true, and the prophecy may have been meant as something negative. But God calling you into the ministry, no matter how you live after that, is still a blessing. Right. Your relatives will remind you that it's not. He will tell you that the offerings of God are a pretty good thing. All right, any other questions? Yes, Heidi? Yes, which is like being the governor of Georgia in the 16, 1700s. Because what they did is the other continents dumped all the prisoners in there.
Yeah,
look at all this land I got. Another murder. Yes. The cities of refuge were given to them as part of the inheritance. This is set up where they get the cities of refuge. They end up getting 48 cities. And I think there are six of those 48 are cities of refuge. Three in the land, three outside the land. So, they got the cities of refuge, but that was, remember, people that, you know, did bad things that can run faster than the Avenger of Blood. You know, there was some real incentive to be in shape back then. You know, you didn't want to be out of shape and accidentally kill someone because you had to outrun the Avenger of Blood for their family. You know? Okay. Yes.
I think
maybe we'll get two chapters tonight.
Levi and Simeon were cursed by Jacob, but Simeon did dissembled with the Aaron and Calf, golden calf thing. Levi, I believe, did not, and they were asked to judge the rest of the tribes.
Right. Levi stays faithful to God.
Yeah.
You don't see Levi getting mixed up with the golden calf. You don't see him get mixed up with Dathan and Abiram. You don't see him getting mixed up with Korah.
Korah is a Levite.
But the tribe, right, the tribe as a whole does not follow him. Kind of like a third of the angels, you know, followed Satan, and the other two-thirds. So when I say Levi, I mean the whole tribe didn't go after that.
Right.
They stayed faithful.
So he just took that part out of Levi.
Yeah, one-way elevator. Right. Okay, anyone else? Revelation 13, maybe some questions there tonight. Okay, chapter 14. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the nine tribes and the half tribe. And there's a number of verses there, and what they're talking about is there was different methods in which they would, kind of like we would say, draw straws or you throw the dice. So it looks like outside of God working within whatever that system they used, there was a randomness to whatever land they got. Okay, probably to some degree, there was consideration for the larger tribes getting a little more land, but it seems like the greater degree is they cast lots of some form, and, oh man, Love Canal. You know, so somebody got stuck with, you know, not as good of an area. Verse 3, for Moses had given the inheritance of 2.5 tribes on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with the suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. Now the interesting thing here is, so what? Have 13 tribes. But God wanted the number 12. So you see how he worked it out here? There's 13 tribes that get an inheritance. And then he gives the priesthood to Levi. Why? There's something about 12 God wants. You see what I'm saying? He could have just said, okay, we'll go with 13. Oh, no, we don't have them on elevators. What are we going to do? Runways don't have 13. So for some reason, God wants that number 12 associated with Israel, because he could have just said, yeah, 13's cool. I can get over that whole curse thing. I'm God, you know? I'm not going to worry about, you know, traveling on Friday the 13th, you know? Nobody worried about Thursday the 12th. You imagine the Jews? Oh, no, Thursday the 12th. So, for some reason, God wanted 12. So he said, we're going to split Joseph. You were one of the 12. We're going to split you, and we're going to make Manasseh and Ephraim two tribes, two separate tribes, and Levi, you're going to get the priesthood. What's that?
I was thinking how I was.
What's that?
Joseph's two sons were priests.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Midianite. I think Jethro was from Midian, was he not?
Joseph married Pharaoh's.
Yes, that's right. I'm thinking of Moses. I'm sorry. Forgive me. No, you're right. Yes. Yep.
The woman is
right. Right. Okay. I'm getting my adulterous women mixed up. I'm really sorry. Yes. All right. And so the Levites get these suburbs. Hopefully they're nice ones. Cities to dwell in. Verse 5. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord sent unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. See, what Joshua and Caleb saw were the same thing the other 10 spies saw. But Joshua and Caleb used their heart in faith that God could conquer the giants, and the other 10 guys went by sight. He says, this was in my heart. I knew God could do this. All you had to do was send me the mobile tour guide. I would have been satisfied. I know that God's going to give us a good hotel room. I'm just going to order online and, you know, we're going to go with it. The other 10 guys, no way, man. I want the internet picture. Somebody send them to me. They went by sight, and when they got there, they go, I don't like the carpet. The shower is too small. And they said, no, God, we're not going to go. My analogy isn't working for you, huh? Oh, okay. Watch out, Lou. All right. So, verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. See, they went by their eyes, and because they lived by sight, they destroyed the heart of other good people. Joshua and Caleb went with their heart. They knew God could do it. The other guys went with their sight, and they came back and destroyed somebody else's heart. And Moses swore on that day, I guess he just had a real bad mouth, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So he's 85 years old. They wandered for 40 years. So that means he was 40 when they started, and then 5 years of fighting in the land. Verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, there's a guy that's not looking for retirement, and there's a guy that isn't old and stricken in years like Joshua. You know, Caleb's going, hey, I can handle this. I'll take care of it. And he goes after the giants here. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain. That's where we get the song, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. That's where it comes from. whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. Gary, just keep reading, okay? And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me. See, this is the key. If the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. So he's going by the promises of God. I don't care if the giants are bigger than me. God's bigger than them. And he says, give me this mountain and I will be able to drive them out. He's not being boastful. He's exercising faith. He knows that it is the will of God that the children of Israel destroy the inhabitants of the land. He's not being boastful. He's just saying, I know this is God's will. And if it's God's will, he's going to make it happen. 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. Nothing like really, you know, dishing him by changing the name of his city. And the land had rest from war. Let me give you a verse Lord reminded me of today that's not in your notes. Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. If you want to rest as a Christian, you must be willing to fight to get there. You don't rest before the fight. And it's a good idea not to rest during the fight. You rest after the fight. That's where the rest comes from. Labor not. Let us labor to enter into that rest. All right? Any questions? Okay? All right, we're cruising. 15. This is the night people say never a sour speak like this before. Look how far we are getting. Okay, chapter 15. I'd rather never have me teach the book of Psalms. I'll make it an institute career, not a course. All right, Joshua 15. This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, southward was the uttermost part of the south coast. And I forgot to print them off today. We do have a map that'll give you a basic idea where the tribes are. Obviously, some of these cities are difficult to locate today. You know, nobody kept up the maps, you know, for several thousand years. But it'll at least give you a good idea. What they're talking about is the southwest area of Judah, or of Israel, is where Judah was. Skip down to 8, just goes through some of his inheritance there. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite. The same is Jerusalem. So remember, when you hear them talking about the city of Jebus, or you talk about the Jebusites, that is talking about the people that originally were in the land in the area of Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward. So they liked living down in the low country. The giants are connected, if you see in your notes there, the giants are connected with the area of the valley of Hinnom, which is also called Gehenna, where the lake of fire is located. So they like hanging out in not so good areas. They are more, than likely the offspring of the sons of God. And they represented the rejection of the warning, ye shall be as gods, in Genesis 3. So this valley of the son of Hinnom, which will be the lake of fire, is where the giants are hanging out. All right? I don't know if it's New York or what, or, you know, San Francisco, but the giants are hanging out down in this valley. Verse 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave part of the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is the city, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sesai, Ahiman, Talmi, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife." Now, there were some trends in the Old Testament that I'm sure a lot of women are glad are not part of New Testament dating doctrine. Okay? One was your parents just picking, you know, who it is you marry. Now, let me say this on the other side of it. God gave you them parents for a reason, so it would be a good idea to get their input. Okay? And brothers of a sister who is dating. In the Old Testament, if her husband died, his brother, not the brothers of the girl, but the brothers of the guy that's dating the girl, if he died, guess what? The other brothers, one of them had to pick up the mantle and run with it. You know, if they could pick her up. So, there is some, you know, in typology, there's some very good advice in the Old Testament about having your parents be a part of it. And I believe, I was 31 when I got engaged. Well, let's see, 30. I was 30 when I got engaged, and I still went around and asked both my dad and Jan's dad for permission to marry her. She was 29 at the time. Had dated for 3.5 years. I mean, her dad, whenever I came over, had a ladder outside. Would you get this thing over with? That is her room. I will leave the ladder. It's even got the rubber grippies on the bottom so it doesn't slide out, bozo, when you climb the thing. Let's get this thing going here, Garrett. So, in the Old Testament, the parents would pick, and the brothers would be interested in who their brother dated because they'd have to marry her if one of them died. Today, we don't give a flip. And what a terrible thing. Maybe that's why our divorce rate is 60-something percent. And back then, in other countries that still do that, of course it is under penalty of death, that might be a factor, they don't have the divorce rate that we have. Now, am I saying we go back to that? No, I'm not. Now, with Michaela, I will. That will be doctrine by the time she turns 18. That will be. I will find enough verses to make that doctrine. What I am saying is this. I have a number of single girls that don't have saved family, or they've been rejected by family. You know what? Their family ought to be as concerned for their dating as they are for other things. Now, I'm not talking about interfering, but if you can't go to your friend and say, the third eye in his forehead, that doesn't bother you? You know, the fact that you've never seen him eat in less than 17 seconds an entire meal, that doesn't concern you somehow? You know what I mean? So now, fortunately, the guys in class realize that if one of them dies, they don't have to marry her. So that's a blessing. But the family idea is to support one another and say, hey, are you sure this is a good idea? Now, on the other hand here, we've got the Atlas competition. Okay? Caleb says, hey, whoever goes and smites that city, you get my wife. Now, considering the response, she must have been pretty hot. I mean, you think about it. Othniel here says, whoa, yeah, I'll go fight that city. And this guy goes off and fights the city and the giants and everything to get Caleb's daughter. See what it says there? And so some of you guys are thinking, all I got to do is get to the gym. You know, they, of course, you know, all the demographics say it's a great place to pick people up. I'm not sure it's God's way. Now, see, if you guys, you single guys, you hold on. Okay? You single guys, hold on till we get to Judges. I'm going to show you biblically how to go pick up chicks. I mean, biblically. Biblically. Let me tell you, I studied Judges before I became a pastor. And I found out how to pick up chicks. Okay. But even later in Judges, I'm telling you, I can show you biblically, guys, how to go pick up chicks. All right? So, but right now, we're doing the Atlas routine here. Okay? And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, remember, back then, the whole cousin thing, you know, was okay. So, you know, don't start getting grossed out. Took it, and he gave Aksa, his daughter, to wife. So Othniel says, yeah, I wouldn't mind being married to that. I don't care how big that giant is. You know, it's really interesting when I deal with singles. They don't have time, they don't have money, and they have no drive until they start dating. Then they have lots of drive, they got lots of money, and they got lots of time. It wasn't available for the Lord before they dated, but once they started dating, I couldn't believe how many nights a week and how many weekends were opened up. Hey, why don't you guys come out for activity? No, I'm just too busy, Pastor. Hey, we're going to go do a camp. No, I just can't afford it. Hey, we're going to go over and pass out tracts. No, I just, it ain't my thing. And then they find somebody to date. Man, they got money galore. They've got four nights a week for them. And it's like, oh, Pastor, I can't get involved now. Look at the woman God gave me. So she must have been something for this guy to go up and attack this city and kill everybody in it just to marry her. I'm glad I just had to pay for the wedding. You know, I could imagine. I got to go take Tonawanda. What? Come on. How about Penyan? It's a little bit smaller. Can you cut me a break? Plus, I like the valley and the hill and everything. Okay. Verse 18, and it came to pass. See, I'm getting in the mood now. I'm getting in the mood. I'm not feeling real well today, so I don't mean to take it out on you. We will talk about the giants, Gary. Just don't leave class. All right? And it came to pass as she came unto him that she moved him to ask her father a field. See, this is where Caleb is thinking, man, the Bible says to leave mother and father. You're now got this dude for a husband, and you're still coming back to me to get more land. This ain't working biblically. It's not what God said in Genesis, right? And it came to pass, she came in and she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass. Got to be careful, that could hurt. And Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Now, here's the thing. Who answered, give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. I'm not even sure Othniel got it out of his mouth before she said, you know, I'm going after dad for this. And nobody's going to pull dad's heart like his little daughter is anyway. And Othniel had his hands full for the rest of life. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. 21. And the uttermost cities of the tribe of the children of Judah toward the coast of Edom southward were Kabzeel and Eder and Jagur. All right? Didn't he used to play for the Rangers? Was it Yammer Jagur or something like that? Verse 28. And here we go. Hazar-Hushal and Beersheba and Biz-Joth-Jah. Yep. All right. Now, Beersheba is one of these interesting ones, if you see in the little comment there, originally fell within Simeon's boundaries. It is now allotted to Judah because of Judges 1:3. What happened is, and we'll get there, in Judges, Judah says, hey, somebody come help me go get my inheritance. And Simeon says, all right, I'll help you out. So they go up. So Judah ends up getting a piece of what Simeon was supposed to get. Nice guy. I went and helped you and you take one of my cities. But that's the whole prophecy thing. Simeon's still getting the short end of the spear. All right. 32. And Leboath and Shilhim and Aen and Rimmon, all the cities are 29 with their villages. And of course, the scholars would like to say, you see on the next page there or wherever it is on your notes, some have raised the question in Joshua 15, 38 cities are listed, and yet it says here there's only 29. What gives? Well, I'll tell you. The answer is that 9 of those cities were given to Simeon in Joshua 19. The cities were given, and they list them there. So where it says he gave them 29, but 38 are listed, because in another passage, 9 of them are given to Simeon. Now remember, the writer has this whole thing in front of him. You understand what I'm saying? He's not writing necessarily every detail as it happened. He picked up his spear. He shot his spear. He picked up his sword. He whacked him with it. You know what I'm saying? He just says, yeah, them dudes went and they won the battle. You guys get what I'm saying? So where it looks like there's a contradiction, the writer is sitting back here after the fact and says, yeah, this city went to them, that city went to them, that city went to them, and 29 in all. Because he knows that he's going to write, when it comes to Simeon's account, he's going to write who the cities are that he gave to Simeon. You understand what I'm saying? He's, you know, if if you don't put yourself into what is going on here, it looks like the guy either can't count or keep track. But no, he's after the fact. He already knows that nine of those cities are going to Simeon. So even though he lists them, he says 29 went to Judah, because I also know I'm going to write this other chapter and nine of them go to Simeon. Does that make sense? You guys got that? It's not a contradiction. Just stick with God. 36. Sheraim, Dithium, Gederach, Gederothan, 14 cities with their villages. You can see the comment there, the same thing. There were supposed to be 15. What happened? One of those cities were ended up given to another tribe. All right? And then scoop down to 63. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah, could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell among the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. So that chapter ends pretty depressing, that Judah, God's, you know, the lineage that he will come from, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he couldn't get it done either, and ended up having to live with them people the rest of their lives. All right, any questions there? All right, chapter 16. All right, any questions there? All right. Another tribe gets a bunch of land. Do we got to go over it? All right, we will. All right, somebody's going to tell Brito. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho, hope it didn't hit anybody, unto the water of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel. Do you guys enjoy your Bible reading? Like, when you read the Bible, do you like live it? Or are you just trying to endure it? I mean, do you enjoy it? You enjoy it? You know what I mean? Now Joshua was old and well stricken in years, and God said to him, "You're old, and man, you're not looking too good." I think that's hilarious. You know, hi, how you doing? You remember that guy thing I told you about last week with the whole clothing? You know what I mean? Is that not true? That is so true. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now, you didn't get that. It was in between the verses. You didn't get that, you know? And then God tells, man, you look terrible. Well, Joshua, what do you mean? Oh, that's right. You've been taking care of my people. I understand now. All right? So, this is Joseph. Joseph is getting his inheritance. Who makes up Joseph? Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim, Manasseh, Manasseh, and Ephraim. Verse 4, so the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim took their inheritance. Verse 5, and the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. Even the border of their inheritance, on the east side of Atar, off Adar. You wonder where Spielberg and Roddenberry and Lucas get all their names for their characters in all these whacked out goofy movies. I'm telling you, I've heard some Bible names in there. I'm going like, where have I heard that before? Oh yeah, Leviticus. I don't have that one memorized. I think that's where they come in and they get this. You know, they need a, oh, we got to think of a name of a place, you know, for our next sci-fi movie. Atar off Dadar. Oh, you know, and the guy's got a handshake and he's got the uniform and the whole thing. Verse 9, and the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. So, there here is this area that was designed. It says, not only did Ephraim have its own territory, but it inherited cities within the boundaries of Manasseh. Remember, Manasseh got split. Reuben, Gad, half tribe of Manasseh, is over on the east. Half the tribe's here. They don't need as much. So when Ephraim needs some cities, they go up and smack their brother again, just like they did growing up, and they end up taking some cities out of their area. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelled in Gezer. Well, that must be Joshua's area, the old one. But the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Any questions there? How are we doing? All right, we're going to press on here. We've got a deacon's meeting tonight. I hate when they talk about me when I'm not there, so we're going to try to get there in time. Chapter 17. Again, these chapters, you go back, all you're getting, what I'm doing, none of you probably had any Novocaine today. I am just sparing you from me trying to pronounce all those cities. okay? I don't do well with English accents, let alone the whole Hebrew thing. Achman Kakla Akbar. I just don't do that well. So I'm not going to try with Kirjath Arba. I got that one. All the rest of them, it isn't going to sound like Hebrew even if I try. It won't even sound like English. Verse 1. For there was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh. I don't know how big, but it just says it's a lot. Maybe it was big lots. For he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, from Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore he had Gilead and Bashan. So it seems like at times there is the opportunity, I should say, to grab some land. Like, this guy's a man of war, so it looks like he went and got some extras, you know. Verse 3. But Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters. And these are the names of their daughters. Parents, don't ever do this to your children. Okay? Mahla, Noah. Which one? No, the girl Noah. Oh, okay. Hogla, Milcah, Tirzah. Yes. Don't ever do that to your kids. Okay? Verse 4. So these women are born and there's no sons. So if you have read your Bible up to the book of Joshua and were paying attention to some degree, you realize that this problem was discovered back in the Pentateuch, where these women said, wait a minute, Daddy's given us some land because there's no sons, but if we marry... You know what? You know. So he says, listen, you're going to get some land, but if you marry, then you forfeit that land and you get the land of the guy you're marrying if you marry outside your tribe. You know what I'm saying? So these women came to Moses and Joshua way back and said, listen, there's a little problem here. You know, at that point, there was no ERA. You know, the women aren't getting any land. It's all going to the guys. So they said, where are we going to live here, you know, if we don't get married? And with names like that, I can see why they're concerned. And if it's anything, never mind. And verse 4, and they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father. And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh. So, you know, maybe they were divided up like little cubes or something like that. Or, you know, when I say that, certain size areas, and you got 10 of them, maybe because you're a little bit larger tribe. Besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side Jordan. Because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. Verse 9. And the coast descended unto the river Cana, southward of the river. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh was also on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. So you see that, and even verse 8 talks about that, where somebody may own the area, but another tribe owns the city in the area. If you have read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you know the children of Israel were good at two things: ticking their neighbors off and ticking their leadership off, because they were a bunch of whiners and complainers. They were just good at that. Can you imagine trying to manage this whole land grab thing? I mean, remember the gold rush? I mean, guys were floating downriver dead every day. Oh, don't know how that happened. Well, how come there's blood all over you? Well, I sneezed. And so they're going to have that too. They're going to have these border disputes. They're going, no, I want that city now. You get the Upper Springs. Oh, you get the Leaf Springs. You know, and they're going to have all these disputes. And it takes a leader to say, no, you're not going to have that. You do that at home, you'll destroy the home. You let the kids fight and bicker like that, and you don't say, no, I don't care if he had 4 bags of M&M's because nobody came to the door Halloween night. You cannot have that. And that's what Joshua has to do. He's got to divide this all out. What a job. No wonder he was old and well stricken. Bless you. Ooh, that's going to get it washed. And the coast descended under Cana, verse 10, southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh's. And the sea is his border. And they met together in Asher on the north and in Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher Beth Shean. So it's like they've got cities that are actually like out of their main area. Seems kind of weird. You know, it's kind of like we're collecting taxes out of, you know, like East Syracuse. But that's how it works. Beth Shean and her towns, Ibleam and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, I guess they weren't too original there, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. So again, another failure to obey God and go to battle. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Someone get out the pacifier. Now, wait till we get to Judges, the book of Judges. There is one crowd that does more complaining than any of Liz Taylor's husbands. And it is Ephraim. There is just something about Ephraim. They won't go to battle, but they want the spoils. They're not willing to fight, but they want the reward. They're not, and we're going to see it three or four times in the book of Judges, that every time something goes on, they don't want to jump in until they know who the winner is. You're a Christian coward.
Amen.
I'm not going to get involved in any activity until I see some results that I can say I was part of. You're a coward.
Amen.
You're a coward. You want to wait till the election comes in before you tell people who you're voting for? You're a coward. You're a coward.
Well, I'm not going to join that group over there. I mean, what happens if some nerd shows up?
You're a coward. You're a coward. I'm not going out to church door to door. You're a coward. You're a coward. Ephraim was like that. I'm not sticking my neck out until I know I'm a winner. How are you going to know you're a winner? Because I'm going to jump in the victory parade. Not going to do anything ahead of time, but I'm going to jump in the victory parade. That's Ephraim. I wonder, hey, somebody here, let him grow up like that. And it says Joseph is whining about his lot. I didn't get a big enough area. Verse 15. So here's a man. I don't know what Othniel was like, but we're going to watch a man operate in his family right now. And Joshua answered, if thou be a great people, I've heard a lot of hot air, but I haven't seen any record. Records are round, black things. You know, you got little grooves, and if you got the right kind of machine, you get sound out of it. Okay, some people don't know where it is. If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Oh, you want to run your own Sunday school? Well, do it. Do it. You're a great people. Go get it done. Don't have a welfare mentality. Go get it done. Cut out a piece of property. Start farming the thing. Cut the wood down. Sell it when rich. You know, feed the maintenance guys here. Whatever. 16. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land and the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are Beshi and her towns. And they who are of the valley of Jezreel, they got chariots. They got chariots. Okay. What weaponry did Israel use at Jericho? Nothing. Okay. What weaponry did they use at Ai? Guile. Okay. All right? And then after they got him out of the city, they hacked him up. You got a spear, Joseph?
Yeah, I got a spear, but they got chariots.
Okay, let's go over it again. Thick walls, Jericho. Really thick walls. What weapons did you have? Same ones we have now. How about your relationship with God? Is that the same? Or have you fatigued the battle and you want things handed to you? Do you want things, everything's got to be given to you because you're tired of fighting? Joshua is a very spiritual response. And there is a little thing in there about iron. Iron is not a good thing. Just about every context of iron in the Word of God is not good. And there's a bunch of verses listed there. So there's a prophetical significance to the second coming of Christ, tribulation and second coming there. Joshua's response, verse 17. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power, because you're with God. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites through the... Excuse me, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. So he's got to be... Excuse me, that was a great lunch. He has got to be firm with them. But at the same time, he says, listen, you can drive them out. Don't let the whole iron chariot thing bother you. You can drive them out. Remember, the key factor is the obedience to God. When they obeyed God, God drove out the inhabitants. So Joseph all of a sudden loses sight of God and looks at himself and looks at the iron chariots and says, we can't do it. Just like in Numbers 13 and 14. Look at the giants. We can't defeat them. Great property over there. Great piece of land. Man, we could really do something there. But they got iron chariots. You know what? It just makes the victory even sweeter. Remember we saw last week, you know, all of a sudden five kings attacked. Oh, what are we going to do? Five kings are attacking. Joshua goes, this is great. We don't have to go as far. God brought them to us. I know it's in a home game, and we're going to kick their... But God brought them here. Oh, but there's five of them. God brought them here. That means we're going to win. This is great. We don't have no travel expenses, no meals, no Burger King, no replacing tires on a bus. Nothing. God brought them here. But there's five. Let's go over this again. God brought them here. We're going to kill them. Joseph, go get them. You can do it. Chapter 18. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. So it looks like the fighting is over. Some of it for good reasons. Some of it for bad, because the children of Israel got tired of the fighting and were not willing to drive out all the inhabitants of the land. And we see a shift here. What has been their headquarters to this point? Like after the battles, we always see the children of Israel going back to this city. Where has their headquarters been? Anybody remember? Starts with a G? Gilgal. Now it seems that their headquarters... for the rest of Joshua and Judges will be seen in Shiloh, and they set up the tabernacle here. And Shiloh is in the inheritance of Joshua. So he probably thought, you know, if I'm going to be the commander-in-chief, we ought to keep the Capitol building fairly close to where I am. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. So in other words, the land was subdued, but they still didn't take the next steps to go get the prize. The land subdued. Nobody's, you don't see five kings gathering together to come after them anymore. It's subdued, but they haven't moved into their inheritance. 3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Have you ever seen how many times a fool in the book of Proverbs is one that doesn't receive instruction or rebuke or reproof? And you see how many times when someone receives reproof or correction that they're called wise? Don't get mad at your leadership if somebody grabs you by the nape of the neck and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? What is going on here? Why don't you have your inheritance? Why don't you have your verses? Why don't you have your paper turned in? You know why? They're trying to make something of you. They're not trying to ruin your life. That's what Mike Ireland's for. Systematic theology. The thing is, a leader at some point, if he's a good leader, is just going to get you so stinking mad at him, you might go out and do what you're supposed to do.
How about that?
Yeah. Here Joshua's got to deal with Joseph in 17. You are a great people. Now go get it done. Let's go. Get it done. And here he says to these guys, what's with you seven tribes? Do you want somebody to take you by the hand and walk you through? So Joshua comes up with a plan, but he says, I'm not doing it for you. Here's a plan. If you follow it, it will help you. You know, you got, well, I can't believe I went to so-and-so with a problem. Gary Thornton won't pay my bills. I went to him for counseling. What's wrong with him? He worked his budget up, and now I've got to do it. I thought that's what I went to a financial counselor for. No. You've got to work it. He'll give you the plan. You've got to work it. 4. Give out from among you. Kind of interesting terminology. They were already giving out. From among you, 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. I think one of the most fascinating things, and I have no idea if God has it recorded, I think one of the most fascinating things is like the whole Lewis and Clark thing and explorers, how they map areas. And I just think that's fascinating. How do you... I get lost in Walmart. I can't imagine being out in Wyoming. Oh, and here's a stream, and that's 13 miles long, and it goes in this little tributary, and there's woods here, and these mountains are about, 14,000 feet. How did they do that? We've had 3 different paintball fields. I built the fields. Toma knows. I built the fields. I get out in a fort and I'm going, where's the base? How do we get back to the cars? These guys just amaze me. So you know what he does? He sends these guys out and says, listen, go describe the land. I saw 3 buttercups, and here's a butterfly, and look, here's some birdies. I'm on the bee thing. I don't know how they do that. And then come back with the detail that they can figure out who's going to get what. Maybe some people in here can do that, My idea of hiking is, going over to the mall. Tremendous. They got the little tiles. They go in certain directions. You can follow them. You don't get lost. And they shall divide it into 7 parts. Verse 5, Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coasts on the north. So he says, here's your boundaries. Don't get Joseph ticked off. Don't get Judah ticked off. Okay? You figure out the land. You guys divide it into 7. You shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you before the Lord your God. See the wisdom here? First of all, he says, let me help you with a plan. Okay? You can't... I'm really not as mean as I sound. You develop a plan for somebody, but you can't execute it for them.
That's right.
If you don't develop a plan for them, they will say that you're judging them and saying that you can't get it done, so why should I waste my time helping you? But if you develop a plan and you do it yourself, you never see really what is in their heart. You don't get an opportunity to see how bad they want this thing that they just said. Somehow you or God cut them short of the deal. You know what I'm saying? So Joshua says, here's a plan. I want 3 from each tribe. Number 1, hopefully... if one of you guys has a bad heart and doesn't believe God, the other 2 rules. We're not doing that thing again. I ain't walking around, Lake Gennesaret for 40 years. That's going to get real boring. At least out there we're in the wilderness. So they send out 3, so there's some wisdom there. And he says, you guys go together, so there's some safety there. And he says, you come back, you describe the land, and so you guys don't end up trying to kill each other. I will help you draw lots, cast lots, to see who gets what. She says, I'll help you, but you got to show me some effort. Listen, you catch a man's fish, he'll eat. You teach a man how to fish, he will survive. And that's what Joshua's doing. I'm going to give you a plan, I'm going to give you a way, but you have got to show some effort. Doesn't that sound like God? Well, how come they can't drive? How come they can't drive them people out? We stopped fighting. Oh, God let us down. Let's go over this again. You stop fighting. He's got nobody to drive out. He has no reason to drive them out. So Joshua here is a good leader. So your leader comes to you and says, this is what I want to see out of you, and you think it's unreasonable. God is trying to teach you something through that leader. This is why we do it. This is why we do it. Verse 7, but the Levites have no part among you. That's three times in these six chapters, just reminding us. Have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and half tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And the men arose and went away. And Joshua charged them that they went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it and come again for me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. Notice, as a good discipler, as a good leader, he doesn't turn them loose without any kind of observation or reporting. That's accountability. You've got to remember, people in your ministry still need that oversight and reinforcement. You turn them loose without keeping up with them, and then the thing blows up. You know what will happen? They will be so discouraged they'll never try anything for the Lord again. So he says, I got to see your work. I got to see your effort, but I'm going to help you here with it. And the men went and passed through the land, described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and came again to Joshua, to the host of Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot, so they're going to go through this, and it starts here. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah, and the children of Joseph, skip to 20. And in Jordan was the border on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin by the coast thereof, round about according to their families. 21. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin according to their families. So that tells you about the land. Now he lists the cities. In verse 28, and Zelah and Neleph and Jebusi, which is Jerusalem, Gibeath, Kirjath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. So this is the chapter that Benjamin gets his inheritance. And we'll see more of that next couple chapters. And then God will start to wrap up their wilderness experience. All right, any questions? I know we had a move, but again, a lot of it was just reading all the city names. Gary? If you look at that, it's just straight, looks like straight pie pieces. Yes, or rectangular pieces, yes. This is, yeah, and if another fun thing is to run down all the different places in Scripture where different tribes are left out, that's a great Bible study if you can't sleep. All right, anyone else? Did you sing tonight? So you're probably fairly spiritual. You want to pray for us? All right, go ahead.
Dear Father, I thank you for being here tonight, learning your word, Lord. I pray that you help us to apply it to our lives as we see that these things were written for our learning. That it's not just there as something, as good stories, Father, but we live it, we love you, and we serve you every day of our life.
Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great night.